Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Identity Theft of the Self. I'm Ellen Hartwell and my co-host, John Warren. How are you today, John?
I am terrific. I'm absolutely wonderful.
Oh, this is good news. We like terrific and wonderful. Yes, we do.
Yes,
so,
we do.
Today's topic is I don't know. I thought when I asked you, John, you were going to say I don't know.
Oh, and it's a joke. I can't believe it. How am I? Ask me what it's doing again. Ask me how I am.
Hi, John. How are you today?
I don't know. It doesn't really work. I don't know.
Yes, it does. You don't know. Well, we're going to learn today how we can know. But we know now that identity theft of the self, we know what it is. We know to have to affirm things, to have gratitude, yada, yada. Making praise a habit, and we know to keep our thoughts positive, to counter negative thoughts with positive ones, and we know that, and we've heard about it for a very long time, law of attraction, science of mind, Jesus said it will be done unto you as you believe, et cetera, et cetera. So we get that, we know that, but how does it work? Well, how does it work? I don't know. And there are a lot of things we don't know exactly how they work, but we use them every day. For instance, John, when I turn the key in my car and it goes vroom, vroom, I could no more tell you how that all works and the pistons turn and the computer yaks at me and the engine gets gassed by being fuel injected, carbureted, oxygenated, stamped. I have no idea. I just know it works. And when it doesn't, I go, better call a mechanic. So I don't know how I don't really know how electricity works. I don't know how we're Skyping in to an internet show, talking to lots of people. They can hear us, and we can hear each other. And if you ask me, excuse me, how does that work? I'd say, I don't know. So there are a lot of things that we use every day that we don't necessarily know how they work, don't you think, John? We don't know how these things work, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about this is, Ellen, is
yes.
that someone does know. I mean, the thing about your car and the internet, the thing that's good is that someone does know. We just don't need to know. And I don't know exactly how it works, but I have a few hunches. And I do think physicists are getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to understanding how it is that what we talk about works repeatedly and over again. Physicists are going to eventually get to it, and I think physicists are close to it. There is a whole body of physics that will indicate that goes toward you know, that you're seeing what you've chosen to see is essentially what it is. That the observer affects the observed. And that, you know, that what we are is projectors, not cameras. Someone knows it, but yes, for the time being, the question for me is, do we need to know? And I'm not, you would say that about cars, I'm not worried about computers. As friends will attest to. She's like, well, I just need this to work. It doesn't matter to me. In fact, but I am grateful that there are people who love computers and want to work on computers, and the Apple Store is available and able to help. I'm glad that there are people who do know. But I use computers all the time, and I don't necessarily need or even want to know. Now, I will say, in terms of manifesting things in our lives, and understanding the self and how the self projects outwards and outwards into situations and creates situations, how that works. I am curious about that to a degree. But here's the thing. The thing to me that is important to remember is I started on my journey around this. I'm going to be honest with you, because I was in pain, because there were things that I wanted that weren't happening, because I wanted a different outpicturing. The life that I wanted that I was seeing out there wasn't like, and someone mentioned, or, you know, I got introduced to these ideas. And I went, oh, yeah, good. That is such good news. It's bad news, too, in a way, because if that's true, that we are manifesting our reality based on our thoughts, emotions, and belief systems, then there's a lot of stuff in my life I go, wow, I can't believe I believe that. Having said that, though, I am curious to a degree about how it works and don't know many things about how it works. The trick for me on it, I say that word advisedly, trick, meaning, I don't think it's a trick. I actually don't think it's magic. I don't think it's a trick. But the trick for me, to turn a phrase, is to not get too concerned, overly concerned with how it works, and keep applying it. I will keep testing it to make sure that it works, but to grow in my faith and know that it works, because part of a big component here in allowing this to work is faith that it works. And it sounds circular, and it will make many people who crazy. The logic is circular, but it is true. Having faith that it works actually helps it to work. And does that make sense?
Absolutely it does, and I agree with you. And I think the whole point is that we may not know how it works, but it works. But sometimes, at least I have a curious mind, and I want to know how it works. And I don't think I'm alone in that. And so, especially when it comes to things that I can't take to the mechanic, or I can't call a friend and say the whatchamacallit isn't doing the thingamabob, and so my computer doesn't work. You know, I have no...
Your command of English is astonishing, Ellen.
I thought you'd be pleased with that. I'm a very artistic...
I know. I hate it. I hate it when my whatchamabob gets clogged in my who's it.
Okay. Now, John, that sounds off color, and I am not dealing with it. This is a family show, so just stop, okay? Okay.
All right. So,
who's a McCallit out of the whatchamabob? So, oh, my God, be with us. I am. Yes, thank you. So moving right along before. John did not take his blue pill this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Because he's weird. So, yes, circling back, yes. We may not know how it works, but it's kind of fun to learn at least how some of it works. And we know the basics, but one of the keys to manifestation is understanding that in our body we hold our feelings. Our feelings aren't out there in the ethers or the poor suffering ozone. Our feelings are within our body. Our body stores our feelings. And so we might say, you've heard plenty of people say, and I say it myself, oh, I had a gut feeling. Well, that's literal. You feel it in your gut, but we aren't taught that. So we don't pay attention to it. We just say, well, no, I had a feeling. Okay, so I have a feeling that this works. I have a feeling that the authentic self is very powerful, very awake, very aware, very discerning, and that if I want to expand my consciousness and manifest more things that I am longing for, that I want or I need, what have you, then I need to have a road to my authentic self, unencumbered by what other people think, what the world thinks, the craziness of the world out there, et cetera, but what do I really believe? What do I really feel? What do I really think? Because in that is the spark of the divine. We all have within us an animating force. Some call it God. Okay, here we go. Here's the list. God, spirit, universe, divine intelligence, infinite love, whatever label you put on that energy that we all have different names for, that is within us. And within that energy, the authentic self basks in love, basks in certainty, and basks in a sense of, I do know. I may not have words for it, but I do know. So within us somewhere, now some people say I feel it in my diaphragm, some in my gut, some feel their authentic self between their ears. It doesn't matter the where, but the authentic self is a feeling recognition. I recognize my me energy, because I'm familiar with my me energy. And it's not out there in the ozone any more than my joy is out there in the ozone. It is encapsulated in this body. My spirit lugs around this bag of bones and all these chemicals and water. But that's not who I am. It is the energy within me. It's not my physical being. However, we are one thing, mind, body, spirit. So the body plays an important role, obviously. But within that is just waiting to flower, waiting to be uncovered, waiting to breathe air, is a pure knowledge of how to manifest, of how to communicate with higher power, of how to be who I really am without fear, without doubt, and without a sense of, okay, I must be crazy, because we came into the world knowing all this stuff, and gradually we forgot it. So today's show about I don't know is, yeah, I don't know, but I sure can find out. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about how we can get to our authentic self purely by feeling, identifying where we have those feelings and what exactly goes on with us when we do, because it's a whole conglomerate. I can say I have a gut instinct. I can put my hand over my diaphragm or my gut and say, okay, I'm getting images on this. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment. And before we do, we're going to have a quick break here, John, and we will be right back. Have you visited AskMariaNow.info? You haven't? Why not? You should see her site. It's gorgeous. Maria is a psychic and intuitive tarot card reader. She is a Reiki master, and she gives the most detailed, beautiful, uplifting, honest readings. She is fantastic. Go book a reading with her now at AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info. Maria, fabulous reader, Reiki master, all kinds of things. Just go to her site. You'll find her, book a reading. You won't be sorry you did. Okay, we are back at Identity Theft of the Self. We're talking about I don't know, but I know how to find out. Oh, everything you wanted to know about insanity and were afraid to ask. So, John, when I talk about that, like a felt sense, it's called, it's a sense of a feeling within your body. Do you resonate with that? I mean, you feel that. I felt it in my gut, right? You've had that experience.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, in readings, when I'm actually doing readings for people, I go into sort of flashes. I will take flashes of hits, but also very often the hit will come from a place on my body, which I interpret then. But I want to say something, Ellen. It's actually simple to that. I don't think we have to go really far afield here in terms of, going airy-fairy or ooey-gooey around this. We do this all the time with our physical bodies. When we have an ache or a pain, we identify it as something. It's the body trying to tell us something. It's not that big a leap to go from there to I have a feeling about this that is an intuition, and it's appearing. It's making itself manifest on the body, and I do think the more I practice like meditation, the more in tune I am with this. I don't find it to be difficult at all to take that leap of going, well, look, if I have, ache in my lower back that is consistent and ongoing, my lower back's trying to tell me something. And, my body's telling me, oh, there's something going on here, there's something wrong, and you should deal with it. And if I get, turn a corner and going down this road or down that road, and I get this strong pain, I get a strong sense somewhere in my person, I will often follow that. There's a great tradition of this. That level of intuition is a great tradition. And I do think it is an avenue into understanding how to and the analogy here for me about not knowing versus knowing, Ellen, in terms of manifestation, that is an avenue, getting in touch with our person and our body and what is our intuition telling us is a natural growth. It's a natural evolution as you practice this. And people do it all the time. You see it all the time. And every single text about this, from the world of business to the world of mystical spirituality, says essentially you get hunches. You will get hunches about what to do next. And often they will appear in your they will appear as senses in our body, and our bodies are telling us things, and that is an avenue, like I said. The analogy, what I wanted to get to about knowing versus not knowing, is, I don't know, you know, Steph Curry, who's like a great basketball player, did not need to know the entire history of basketball. He needed to practice to become a great basketball player, or the history of sports, or why everything evolved the way it evolved, or how the world works in its entirety to become a great basketball player. What he needed to do was practice every day and probably made some decisions before he came into this incarnation about what he was going to do and accomplish. Michael Jordan, same thing. What he needed to do was practice. Now, along the way, you pick up, along the way, I have discovered, and I'm not comparing myself to those two gentlemen at all, but what I am saying, along the way, I have discovered that it is interesting to find out and to learn, like you're talking about in this segment, the avenue, different avenues to understanding how manifestation works, how vibration outpicturing works, how the fact that we're projectors, not cameras, how that works is interesting, and it's good to know. It should never interfere or take over or cause us to stop evolving and practicing. And part of my practice is to listen. And this came from meditation. Let's say this isn't true for everybody. For me, this segment and what we're talking about this week came from meditation. In particular, one, you know, on a phone app, in fact, called Headspace, in which you travel through your body and sort of sit there and focus on it for a certain period of time during the course of the meditation. And you do get in touch, or I have gotten in touch with what this means. And I'm saying, I sit with other people in the readings I do, Ellen, and I'm rambling on here. I'm going on for a second, but you just triggered something in me. And I realize how clear that is. Sometimes I will get calls as an intuitive. And I always say intuitive, who also occasionally get psychic hits, is really my definition. And very often somebody will ask me about a lover, because that's what people ask about, or money, that's what people ask about. And I, you know, and I'm happy to help, and I want to help. And I will sense that other person that they're talking about at some point in my body. There will be an indication. I'm not 100%, but it is a very interesting, consistent, because you get, is he cheating on me a lot? And I get very consistently answers that often come back as correct. I will find out later from the same person with a yes or a no. Oh, no, actually no. Or that one's a big flirt, but he never crosses the line, because it happens somewhere in my body. The hit happens in my body. And that's just intuition. That is part of my mechanism connecting with someone else's outpicturing. Does that make sense?
It does.
I always end with, does that make sense?
Yes.
Because I don't know what that's about. Is that an insecurity expressing itself, Ellen? I don't know. I'll have to check in with my body and find out.
Oh, my God. No, this is not, I don't see this in any way as a deterrent to keep practicing or you know, anything like that. My goodness, it's an addition to a practice, is to get a felt sense of something and to really realize how tremendously powerful you are, and how the whole concept of manifesting our own reality, there are so many ways to do it. And to me, I don't think there's a wrong way. I mean, I suppose there's mumbo jumbo that's wrong, but I don't think there's a wrong way if it works for you and you're happy with what you're seeing when you look at your life, then do it. Opinion on that. I used to be so uptight, but what if I'm doing it wrong? There isn't a wrong.
Yeah.
And if you don't like what you're looking at, well, you can change that, which is the beauty of this whole thing. You don't like what you see, well, manifest something different. But
well,
Allie, can I say something before we go off on something else? Well, I'm going to. is the reason why I brought that up is that is the excessive study as a form of avoidance. I mean, and again, I will refer to myself, but I will refer to other people. This power that we have is scary and annoying and aggravating and upsetting in many ways if you don't find the joy in it quickly. Now, having said that, I have found 1,000 ways to avoid manifesting things that would make my life better. This is not 100% true because I'm certainly better at it than I have, but there are things that people get attached to, attitudes, beliefs, stuff we came up with, that we are going to, if we keep practicing, be asked to examine, and in a few cases, to be asked, we're going to know we have to throw those overboard if we want to keep going. Those beliefs that are not working for us. A lot of people don't want to do that. One of the best ways to deny and avoid growing is to study, because it's almost foolproof. How many times have we known, or people who grew up in churches, people who know the ins and outs, clerical ins and outs of a church, but they're the least spiritual people in the world. They do everything but get the message. And I've known people in 12-step groups. They spend so much time going from one meeting to the next that they never actually practice the practice because they don't want to, because it's scary. You know, because initially it can be scary. That's what I mean. The excessive study, I guess, is what I wanted to interject here, is one of the subtlest forms of denial that we can that we can stumble across. Is I will study this so much and then I will not have to practice it. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm ending it with that. Does that make sense? My God, I'm stuck on that. Because I think it's actually really important. It's been important for me to address this. It's like, oh, and you, it came from you, Ellen. Because at one point, a while ago, in a conversation with you, you need to hit the apply button. In other words, it doesn't matter why the elevator goes up or down. Just press the button. You don't need to know the exact reason, the length of the pulleys, who made the machine, all the rest of it. You got to hit the apply button. Try it. That's why I started this entire show weeks ago with figure out something this week that you can practice on. And if it's just a small thing, do a small thing. Manifest something that you do not have. Practice it this week, something small, not something crazy over the top, because you've got to stay in the practice. And along the way, it is fascinating. It is fascinating to study this.
It is.
And you got to do it. You got to keep doing it. It just can't be a reason to avoid the practice.
Oh, I think both. And you can study your brains out and be a professional student, but make sure you do hit the apply button and make sure it's not all talk. We can talk it till the cows come home. We need to walk it. We need to live it. We need to breathe it. We need to be it. And once we are being it more of the time than not, we start to manifest that which we desire. And we can feel it in our bodies when we're on, in quotes, and when we're off, in quotes.
Yeah.
We all have a truth meter, for instance. We can tell, not always, of course, but usually if someone's spinning us a load of hay, we can usually tell. We can usually tell if we're okay within ourselves. Oh, yeah, I just feel off my feed. Yeah, you feel off. You don't feel quite right, or you don't feel grounded. Or, you know what, I was beside myself. Beside, I wasn't in my body. I was beside myself. And if we really listen to ourselves, like you say, John, overhear ourselves and listen to what we're saying, I was in such a rage I couldn't see straight. You're not in your body. You're not in your body. I was so upset, I just slammed things around the room and I couldn't think. You're not in your body. You don't have a sense of who you are. I lost my mind. Yeah. In that moment, you lost your mind because you weren't within yourself, feeling yourself, communicating with yourself. And what is yourself? The authentic self is who you are, unencumbered by what other people think for shorthand, and absolutely connected and aligned with spirit, higher power, God. Okay, I'm not doing it with God. And so in that awareness of being in alignment with a power greater than ourselves, that has a sense of it in our body. We have a felt sense an awareness that, you know what, yeah, sometimes I feel that in my diaphragm, sometimes in my gut, sometimes in my heart, but I feel something almost like, not exactly like, but sort of like a presence that is me and not me. Well, it is you, and it's completely you, and that kind of little comma or colon is, that is the divine. It is an intelligence. It is a love. It is a force. It is a power greater than you that is within you. And we can get a sense of that by practicing, by taking something that's fairly easy to get a felt sense of. For instance, oh, I felt that in my gut. I knew that was true, John. Dang it, I knew that was true. I could feel it in my stomach. Okay, stop. You could feel it in your stomach. So you feel it and you go, well, what was it like? Well, I started getting this kind of wormy feeling in my stomach, and then I started having images of this or that or the other. Really? Well, what were the images? Well, it was a feeling like if I go out today, I'm going to have a flat tire, so I just waited till later to go. Now, I'll never know because I kept seeing a flat tire. Well, guess what? I went out. It wasn't mine. It was the neighbor's, and I was able to help them. Okay, good. Good. But it's a felt sense of a truth that is always with us. We always know the truth. We always have the truth. It is within our authentic self. How do we get to the authentic self? By thought, by practice, by sensing within our body where we feel good, where we feel bad. And I'm not just talking, do I have a headache or not? I'm talking about the emotions I am feeling right now, I can find them in my body. And then with practice, I can say, yeah, I feel it here. And these are the images I get. How cool is that? We do have to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about some concrete examples here on identity theft of the self, about the sensing that you can do and the images that you'll get, and a little bit on how to interpret them. We will be right back. Here comes my favorite commercial. Are you feeling like you've done it all? All the affirmations, all the meditations, everything you can think of, prayers, standing on your head, spitting wooden nickels, and still there are those few things that you haven't manifested in your life. And it is frustrating. It truly is. Well, there's something going on there. There's a belief that you haven't uncovered that is halting you in some way from manifesting that which you desire. So to the rescue comes John Warren. He will help you uncover the belief systems that are keeping you back, as well as uncover those, if you don't already know, that have helped you. John is an expert at manifesting things. He can teach you how in such a quick and beautiful and gentle and enlightening way. So John Warren to the rescue. Can you hear the helicopter in the background? Yeah, that's John. He's about to drop into your life and rescue you in the sense of pointing out to you those patterns which are holding you back. And I don't know about you, but I feel we all need someone to do that for us now and then. And why not go to an expert on manifestations? That would be John Warren. Oh, how do you get him? Oh, you just go to my site. It's simple, ellenhartwell.com, and there he'll be. Set up a time, and he'll rescue you out of this hamster on a wheel feeling you've gotten. You watch and see if he doesn't. I love that helicopter.
Okay. I know. I was going to say you're giggling in the middle of it. So I need to tell you, did I ever tell you the story of when I was in high school, I worked in a theme restaurant, and I played Radar O'Reilly from MASH. I was a busboy, and I played Radar. I came, and I would say that I would say things like, the helicopter, I hear the helicopter, it means the waiters come. I mean, it was ridiculous. I had a job that job that summer. So you were psychically in tune with my history on that one, Ellen, when that ad was created. Because I had no part. I want you to say that. You created that. I love it. And I love doing what I do, but yes, I played Radar. I remember Radar. I always heard the helicopter come. I want to touch on something.
You okay there, John? You okay, Radar?
Okay. What? Do I sound like I'm not okay? I am more than okay. I want to touch on something. What you from the last segment before we move on to more, you know, sort of concrete examples, Ellen, is that
one of the things I think is important to practice as we grow, because this is less thoughts are things and very direct. What we're touching on here is a topic that absolutely, not only, you know, I hope people practice their spiritual life. I do. But this is an absolute must-be practice because we live in a very disconnected, rational world that this part of what we're talking about today is not focused on. We aren't raised with it. And in some cultures, you are kind of raised to believe in your tuition. Your tuition, that's funny. Your intuition. But in this one, we're really not. So one of the reasons to practice this and to practice on small, in other words, you know, should I leave my husband and move to Siberia, I'm going to check in with my body this morning and make a decision on impulse. That's not at all what we're talking about. Practice on small things. What's the best place for me to go shopping today that will serve me? I mean, on tiny things that really, in a way, won't matter. And then pay attention to your inner intuition. And that actually is a good way to start on the tiniest of things. Because on the big things, very often our emotional baggage, the momentum we have behind something, all sorts of other things are informing what we're feeling in our body at that moment. But if you start with the small stuff, you can build just like going to the gym. You know, you start with the 5-pound weights, and then you get to 8, and then you get to 12, and you can grow and become better and better and better at this. So I wanted to touch on that. I thought it was important to sort of say, we are not advising you to, you know, examine your kneecap and then decide that means that you need to sell all your property and move into a hut in the Himalayas.
Oh, boy. That's
am
right.
I right?
We're not saying that. Oh, boy. I warned you, ladies and gentlemen, I warned you, he didn't take his blue pill, and whenever he forgets to take his blue pill, we're in the Himalayas.
I don't know what to do with the blue pill analogy, but go ahead. What is this segment about, young lady? We need to move along.
Hey, I agree with you 100%. I think that's a really, really good idea. Oh, boy, oh, boy. So we can feel within our body our feelings, and we can learn a lot of them. For example, I said concrete examples. I'm giving one, and it has nothing to do with kneecaps or the Himalayas. However, for instance, I have within me what I call my mom alarm. And my son sometimes has some issues and doesn't feel so well. And my mom alarm will go off if it's something that's serious. I get a sense, and it's always in the pit of my stomach, and it feels kind of wormy, and then like something's moving. And then it's like this jitteriness. It's like an alarm clock going off, and it's like, oh, my God. And so I put my hand over my gut, and I feel that kind of jitteriness, and I go, okay, this is my mom alarm. What images am I getting? And I'll start to get pictures in my mind like, you're overreacting. You know, he'll be fine. Or, yeah, this could be serious. Let's go. Let's get some help. Or, you have time. Let's see which way this goes. You don't have to rush out right this minute. I get images of running fast, or images of you can sit and wait, or images of, yeah, sit and wait, but closely watch. And so I can tell, is this something that it needs immediate medical attention, or it might pretty soon, but we're okay now, or no, not really. I think my mom alarm is a little hypersensitive right now. I'm going to give it some time, because I get pictures in my mind that serve me very well in circumstances like that. That's an example for me, and most of us have certain things that we're already familiar with. I have a friend who, I think it's her left arm, if she gets a feeling in her left arm, a bad feeling, it's like, I guess it feels like static or electricity of some kind, she goes, no, that's a bad decision, don't do it. And if she doesn't feel that, then she knows, okay, I can at least consider this. So everybody has or most people that I know of, have a place like, like you were saying earlier, John, you can kind of feel, is he cheating on me? And you can kind of get a sense of that in your body and then interpret the images and say, no, I don't think so. Or, yeah, he's a big flirt, but I don't think he's sleeping around or whatever. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a question, though, Ellen. This is interesting about this. Interesting about this to me because I tend to be very head-centered. Which is why, you know, I started with religious science, and this philosophy has always appealed to me. It's very head-centered. I live in my head too much, actually, and I'm aware of that. That's why this conversation that we're having this week is so interesting, and it's been a long journey for me. My question for you is because has your mom alarm ever been wrong, meaning it went off and everything was fine, or – And I think it's actually important to sort of admit, like, I'm sometimes off on this, but most of the time there's a pretty consistent practice with it. Has it been off, or and as you have paid more attention to it over time, has it been? Has your success rate, let's say, been grown? Does that make sense?
Yes. It's right. I would say 98% of the time.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, but that's been with me, honey, for 32 years, you know? So I'm very used to that. Now, other things, for instance, all that's going on in the world and in San Bernardino and our president and all kinds of things, which I really don't want to spend time on, but we know the world's gone crazy, or at least it feels like it has. And so, you know, I'll get a sense within me, oh, something's really wrong. Oh, what is it? You know, I feel like the Antichrist moved in next door or something. It's like I'll just get this horrible feeling that things are really ick. And, of course, that's a trigger to treat and to pray and to say, okay, everything's fine, you know, counter every negative thought with a positive one. But, excuse me, when I get that feeling, it's very disconcerting, and I've learned to go, okay, you know it's there, but you don't have to focus on that because it could be I'm picking up on something that's going on in Africa or something that's going on in, you know, the other side of the country or something that's going on in the Middle East, and I may not know exactly what it is, and I also may be wrong. Maybe it's just an icky feeling. So do we take this felt sensing as the gospel? Well, of course not. But it is an indication of not only where we feel it, but what images do we get around it, and we learn to interpret it. It doesn't mean that, okay, that's a fact and you act on it because you know you're right when you feel it and can get images. No, it's just an indication of where you're at in the moment, what's going on around you in the moment. Will you always be right? No, of course not. Nobody is. We don't always interpret things correctly, no.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'm glad we touched on this other stuff, Ellen, where I think, you know, I keep coming back to the same themes on this, and this is another one where it's just one of the parts of this practice that's so big and so large is that consistently, the word now, it's very trendy, is mindfulness. But you said the old world phrase, which is the old school phrase, which is pay attention. Pay attention. When it goes on, if you consistently pay attention, you I know with me personally and with the people that I work with, consistently, the sense of my intuition and where it happens in my person becomes better and better, I guess, over time. And in the sort of what's interesting to me, many things are interesting to me, but one of them is, it's one of those where the more I pay attention or I am mindful around this phenomenon, I guess is what I would say, the more I will, the better I become at it, and the more I will take action based on it, which is the next step, or where I will consciously contradict the intuition, which is another option. A beautiful thing about all of this is that you have choices. It's like, you know, intuition is saying you should do this and not do that. And in a number of instances that are very personal, I have to say over years, I found out years later that when I consciously ignored my intuition, I found out a potential outcome that I think I would have enjoyed that I didn't participate in. And it's almost too dense to explain, but after a while you start paying attention, it's like, or I will let my ego have free reign. And it's just, no, I am doing that today, period. Even though my inner voice, my body is saying, no, don't do that. Now, 90% of the time, you know, most of the time it's not dead, it's not the end of the world. It just means that if I choose to ignore that after I have practiced, after that still small voice, I've gotten used to it and I know where it lands and where it comes from. If I choose to ignore it, it actually mostly just means that my life is going to flower more slowly, or the things that I want are going to occur more slowly, or I'm going to evolve spiritually a little more slowly, and there's nothing particularly wrong with God, as it were. Goes, okay, go more slowly then, if that's what you want to do. But we do know and can tune in and can practice and become more acquainted with that thing that would have us have everything we want right now.
Yes, because the authentic self has the power in alignment with higher power to create exactly what we want, what we need, et cetera, et cetera. We forget that and we're told it's not true, but it is true and it is there and it is real. And getting a felt sense of yourself is a good place to start. Where do I feel my me energy? You know, is it all in a little tight ball in the corner of my knee? Or is it kind of an expansive feeling of who I am that takes up the better part of my body? Well, if it's this little tight ball that's all in the corner scared in your ankle or something, well, you know, bring that up, bring that out. Like, wow, don't be scared, you know. Let's look at what you are afraid of and let's see how much of that is real and how much of it isn't. It's very important to get to know who you are, and you can do it through sensing that. And we'll give you an example when we come right back on identity theft of the self in just a moment. Have you gone to ellenhartwell.com and ordered a journey reading? I do journey readings that will really enlighten you, not because I'm so gifted, but because what happens is as we look into the energy that you hold, past issues are brought up, present issues, and even some future issues that you can avoid or create all the more of by discovering your patterns, by discovering what is it that holds me back. Even some past life things can come up. For instance, I know someone who was terrified of the water, and you, most of you have heard about this kind of thing, but this is true. One of my callers was terrified of the water, and he discovered that he drowned in a past life. And once he knew that, he could put that in the past, as John Moran would say, spirit spent, and move forward understanding what that urge to run from any type of water was. So journey readings can help you in your everyday life, in your relationships, in your career. So call me today, go to ellenhartwell.com and purchase a journey reading and we'll talk. Thank you so much and enjoy your journey reading. It is transformative. It is, it's true. So yes, I think that knowing that within us is the spark of the divine expressing itself as us in this moment, and knowing that we can access that authentic self by figuring out how do we feel ourselves? Where are we? We just take it for granted. Well, I'm right here. No, you're not. Your awareness isn't. Your awareness is not on this. It's on, oh, I got to run to the store and I need to get some V8 juice and I need to do this and don't forget to take the clothes out of the dryer and, oh, don't forget to feed the cat, et cetera. No, what if we spend half a minute every day collectively believing with each other and for each other for peace, for instance. And we could feel that peace within our body. For instance, when I feel peace, it's almost always around my heart. I get this beautiful sense. It's got a golden color to it. It's very quiet. And it's around my physical heart. And I feel that peace. And I just see images of kind of kumbaya. I know it sounds corny, but it's true. And I feel the world joining in namaste and really believing that we are one, that we're honoring the God within all of ourselves and really recognizing that we must stop the violence and things like that. I can feel it around my heart. I get mental images that support that. And I try to spend a little bit of time there every day for my sake as well as everyone else's. John, you must have something like that, right, where you just get a sense of something in your body, and if you focus on it, you get images?
Absolutely. I mean, it goes different. I mean, my process is a little different than that, Ellen, in that what I think is becoming mindful of my body, what has helped me is, and this is not right for everybody, but it's right for me, is to what I call sitting, which is, you know, sitting in meditation, but sitting still. You just said it, if people just sat still for 30 seconds and focused on peace, that's all that that meditation is. You just make that 30 seconds 5 minutes or 10 minutes and focus on one thing. In the example you gave would be peace and where you feel it and the images you get. Those images, based on our philosophy that we're talking about here, then project outward and become outward. Now, what I can extrapolate is that I tend to start from the outside in this case, sit still, then I will focus on a word or a part of my body, like my heart, and stay there. And I have a phone, so I use my timer. Why not? Technology is good. Sit there for 10 minutes. Now, I will tell you this. When I do this, Alan, and we can take this is where it becomes a philosophy. When I do this, first thing I do is pay attention to the images that I'm getting. And if things are up, like bugging me, somebody's made me angry 6 years ago or 5 minutes ago, and that starts coming up, and I find myself, I listen to myself, and I'm having an argument with that person. I go, oh, I'm arguing with somebody who's not in the room, and I let that pass through, and I keep letting all the images pass through. You do this practice long enough, and all the crap goes through. You go, okay, that's not happening now, it's not happening now, it's not happening now, and you get to a place of centered in what I would call peace. And eventually, that when I do that, and this is I have evidence of this, consistent, that is at a rate of 90% is what I would say. When I do this, my day is smoother, easier. And anybody who does this will attest to this. You see it over and over and over again. It's smoother. The people that I run in, you know, things that need to be taken care of happen more efficiently, with greater ease. I seem to avoid traffic, which is a miracle. In Los Angeles, anybody will tell you. You know, I mean, or if I'm in traffic, it doesn't seem to bother me because there's something on the radio that, oh, yeah, I'm glad I'm hearing that. It's all sorts of things happen differently. Now, times that by 4 billion people, and guess what? People don't snap and decide to shoot up, you know, a government building. Guess what? People go, oh, you know what? This is not going to be a day in which is about aggravation, agitation, and confrontation. And ooh, I like that. Agitation, aggravation, and confrontation. That's not what this day is about. Because from my practice, I know it's true on a microcosmic, you know, I'm a microcosm of that. And I can tell you, I mean, you can go online and Google, you know, meditation or, you know, and we know this from studies in Washington, D.C., we're just 5% of the population agreed to meditate, and the crime rate went down. And we know it over and over again. And so, yes, I confer that. I mean, I think my entryway is a little different than yours. But, yes, the imagery comes up, and I feel directed through the day. Now, if I can do this in 10 minutes a day, imagine keep practicing. There are people who are masters at this, Ellen, and that have lived or will live or are living now. And they can, in fact, there's a great book on it called Super Beings, actually, can, in fact, sort of direct, then you become the director of your day. My day feels more directed. I have more options and more choices because I'm under less strain and stress and aggravation and survival. And then you become, after practice, a kind of able to enter in and direct the day. And this comes from sitting and focusing on peace, placing it somewhere in your person. I have to get it out of my head, which is hard for me. I'm a head-centered person, and get it into my body.
All right. Well, I think we all come at it a little differently, I'm sure. Again, I don't think there's a right or a wrong way. But how does this tie into manifestation, because we manifest only from an authentic belief connected with an authentic feeling, connected with authentic power, which is all within us. And so as we get a sense of who we are, or a sense of that pattern that we haven't broken for the past 8,000 years, ooh, I can feel that now. I feel it kind of hovering over my hip, that pattern of mine. I'm going to change that. I'm going to unpack that. I'm going to say, what is that? Well, it's a sense of kind of weightedness and a sense of, I don't know, I get the sense of I feel obligated. Obligated to what? I don't know. And if you gently kind of sit with that weighted, heavy feeling, you'll get some images, some people will walk through your mind, some thoughts will wander around, some feelings will come up, and you'll go, okay, Aunt Martha, what are you doing standing on my hip? Well, Aunt Martha's been dead for 30 years. She has nothing to do with you now. God bless her. God bless her forever. But I don't need you hanging on to my hip and making me feel like I'm not good enough, because that, I can feel, is a lie. I am certainly good enough, so Aunt Martha, go back to heaven and get off my hip. Now, of course, that's ridiculous, but that is how it works in a nutshell, is to get that that felt sense of it, identify it, talk to it, and then wish it its best somewhere else. I say, I remove that from me. It has nothing to do for me. And I release it and render it harmless to the native nothingness from which it came.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on that just because I think it's important. One of the things that comes up for me in this practice, in this particular practice that I talked about a minute ago and that we are sort of touching on this week, is that I will actually hear from, we all have arguments. I mean, one of the spiritual practices that I do is don't argue with somebody who's not in the room. And now it's becoming, I just don't want to argue with people. But like, in other words, somebody set you off, and I'm argumentative. I mean, I'm a talker by nature. And but, you know, in sitting quietly and paying attention to what my mind is doing, what my head is saying, I can't believe especially when I started, but still, how many times I'm proving, in quotes, my points to people who aren't there. And when that goes away, when you go, oh, that's what's happening here, and it's family members, I'll be honest, I'm not going to say exactly who, but it's family members, it's like, wow, I'm still talking to her. Isn't that something? Decades later, I'm still trying to put, how did that come up? And then I can sort of, instead of fighting it, I can allow it to have a beginning, which I didn't notice, a middle, which I did notice, and an end. And it can go away, gently go away. Then there's an empty space in which I can put whatever I want that will manifest in creation. But yes, the sitting quietly part where you get to hear and see, it's like, oh, is this argument that I'm having with somebody who's not in the room manifesting something that I want? Or is it manifesting more arguments that will eventually be people who are in the room, whether the room be the freeway or the grocery store line, or any other, or the post office, the argument will happen. I will manifest that eventually. And it's a beautiful practice because just by looking at it from this perspective, you can go, oh, I'm arguing with Aunt Fanny, who died in 1978. And I must have a belief system that says I need to prove something to her. Lo, these many years later, is that belief system affording me what I want in my life today? And most of the time, the answer is, oh, no, it isn't. It actually isn't. So I'm going to stop arguing with Aunt Fanny, who died in 1978, and let Aunt Fanny do what she's doing now. She's on to some other incarnation or doing something else, playing croquet in heaven. Who knows? She's having a fine time. I'm still having the argument, and I'm having the manifestations based on those arguments. And that is the beauty of sitting and paying attention to what your head, your mind, is in your body is telling you.
Yes, exactly. And that's what, you know, and there's a whole big long thing connected to this that we don't need to go into, but there is a sense in you of that which is real and true, and that which is effective, and that which is now, And that which is in the past and done and spirit spent, and let's not keep repeating the same pattern. You can get a physical sense of the patterns that you have that do not serve you anymore by just taking a minute and looking at yourself and saying, oh, I do feel that. I feel that in my elbow. What's that got to do with anything? Well, wasn't it your great uncle Tom that said, you know, grabbed you by the elbow and said, you're not allowed to do that. You're a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll bring up something, and that something mm-hmm. is very helpful in gently being free of those patterns, being free of those beliefs that are spiritual blood clots and hold us back. Now, it's not that it's a magic trick or anything like that. It isn't. It's just another tool to use as we practice our manifestation process.
And let me interject on before the show's over that this voice that I'm talking about that I've had to pay attention to and let go didn't happen overnight. I hope everybody who's listening to this, I hope it happens instantaneously. I believe it can. In my case, it has taken me practice over and over again. Oh, I'm going to let that go. I'm having that argument again in my head. Going to let it go. And it keeps making the water clearer. So it is a practice.
It is a practice. Again. We want to thank you for listening. We will be back next week, and we will be talking about the joy of hindsight. Huh? Well, tune in next week, and you'll find out what the joy of hindsight is. It's very instructive. It dovetails with getting a felt sense of the authentic self and creating the reality that we desire, because we are accessing that authentic self. We're doing great here. We appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your emails. We're glad you enjoy the show. John, I wish you the best week ever. And we will be back next week, same time, same place, here on Identity Theft of the Self. Thanks for listening, and be blessed here. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.